Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli, the president. They just swore in the ambassador to India, and now he's taking questions in the Oval Office on this issue, among other issues as well, including the Supreme Court and the economy. So let's jump into the Oval Office and hear from President Trump and take a listen.
But you have no tax, and the no tax on tips has turned out to be a tremendous thing. But when you think no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security for our seniors. It's the great, big, beautiful bill.
Wait, Justin, you have this from the beginning, right?
But now people even, they don't want
okay, to- no problem. We're going to take it from the beginning because the questions he was asked about the government shutdown, and I want to make sure we get to hear that part of it, too, and the Supreme Court's decision on, not hearing on the gay marriage case, too. So make sure we take a listen to that as well. Just let me know when you have it. All right. You got it? Okay. So, and look, I think that it's obvious as you think about the incredibly cynical strategy here by Democrats, that if you're not John Fetterman and you were on the side of this, and if you're Brendan Boyle and you want to run against him, then you're going to be angry, and you're going to be angry at the party. But let's not pretend like this wasn't all worked out behind the scenes. I mean, the behind the scenes effort of this was always to drive disaffected Democrat voters. And just like we had to worry about Trump voters that would not turn out if it wasn't Trump on the ballot, Democrats had to worry about the same thing if it wasn't Donald Trump on the ballot. I mean, a lot of Democrat voters turn out to vote against him. Republican voters turn out to vote for him, and that's a problem that the Republican Party has to do, obviously, a much better job of, and something we've been talking about that. All right, let's take a listen to the president here, taking questions.
Senators that are here, Mr. President, do you personally approve of the deal that's happening right now in Capitol Hill to end the
election? Well, it depends what deal we're talking about, but if it's a deal I heard about, that's certainly, you know, they want to change the deal a little bit, but I would say so. I think based on everything I'm hearing, they haven't changed anything, and we have support from enough Democrats, and we're going to be opening up our country. It's too bad it was closed, but we'll be opening up our country very quickly.
Mr. President, that deal does reverse the mass firings your administration put through during the shutdown. Did you sign off on that, and will you abide by that if this passes?
Well, I will be. I'll abide by the deal. The deal is very good. We're not going to be giving $1.5 trillion to people that came in from jails and from, the gangs and drug dealers and all of these others that they wanted to be given health care, which would have hurt our health care system. I hope that we're going to be able to have a health care where Lindsay and I were discussing it, Jim and I were discussing it, and Katie, we discussed it. We want a health care system where we pay the money to the people instead of the insurance companies. And I tell you, we're going to be working on that very hard over the next short period of time, where the people get the money. We're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars where the people get the money. Yes, please.
Syria, President, sir, did you update us on your meeting? Did you come to any agreements?
Say it.
With the leader of Syria earlier, did you come to any agreements today?
Well, I've had an agreement with him. He's a very strong leader. He comes from a very tough place, and he's a tough guy. I liked him. I get along with him. The president, the new president of Syria. And we'll do everything we can to make Syria successful, because that's part of the Middle East. We have peace now in the Middle East, first time that anyone can remember that ever happening. And, as you know, Syria is a very big part of the Middle East, very important part. If you look back at Syria for years, they had the doctors, the lawyers, they had so many of the great intellects. It's an amazing place with great people. And we want to see Syria be successful along with the rest of the Middle East. So I have confidence that he'll be able to do the job, absolutely.
How close are you to a deal, a trade deal with India? Are you
right.
willing to consider lowering the current tariff rate?
Well, right now, the tariffs are very high on India because of the Russian oil, and they've stopped doing the Russian oil. It's been reduced very substantially. Yeah, we're going to be bringing the tariffs down. At some point, we're going to be bringing them down. Without tariffs, this country would be in such trouble, as they were for many years. That's why we owe $38 trillion. And one of the things we're going to do, we're going to issue a dividend to our middle income people and lower income people of about $2,000, and we're going to use the remaining tariffs to lower our debt. We're going to be lowering our debt, which is a national security thing. So we're doing a lot of good work. The numbers were reported so incorrectly. The real numbers are trillions of dollars have been taken in or gotten in terms of investment from the tariffs. And so if that were ever reversed, it would be a disaster. It would frankly be a national security problem for our country. And nobody thinks it's going to be reversed. I think we had a very good court case. As you know, it's before the Supreme Court right now. But if that were ever reversed, you know, people are saying, oh, it's $1 billion. Some people said, oh, it's $2 billion. Well, that obviously we can handle very easily. But this is trillions of dollars we're talking about in terms of the tariff income and all the investment income that's come into our country. You know, we have more than more than $18 trillion. The biggest number ever is a tiny fraction of that for any country. China, the United States, the biggest number ever. If you look at the past administration, Biden, he did less than $1 trillion in 4 years. We're over $18 trillion. By the time my first year ends, we're going to have over $20 trillion of investment coming into the United States. It's unheard of. We have AI factories. We're leading China by a lot. We have cars and, you know, car plants coming in by more than we've ever had built before. All of that would go away if we lose the tariff case. So all of it would go away. So they're not giving the right numbers. It would be an economic disaster. It would be a national security disaster if we lost the case in the Supreme Court. Daniel? Yes.
This is an idea you've been talking about for months. This is going to directly, positively impact millions of Americans. Why is this important for you to do, and when do Americans expect that?
So I've been talking about it for a long time, the dividend to people that, you know, have suffered under the Biden administration. So Biden had the highest inflation in history. And we now are at a very low point. We're going to be hitting 1.5% pretty soon. So we're at a low point, and he was a high point. We did that. Food prices are way down. It's all coming down. And the biggest decrease, of course, is energy. And, you know, as goes energy, goes everything else. Because when energy comes down, the oil, the electric, I think you're going to see $2 gasoline or something very close to that. In fact, we're already in the twos. But I think you're going to be seeing very soon $2 gasoline. That's like the equivalent of a massive tax cut. But in addition to that, the great big beautiful bill gives you a very, very big tax cut. And then you have no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, and no tax on overtime for the middle income and for even, frankly, anybody. But you have no tax, and the no tax on tips has turned out to be a tremendous thing. But when you think no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security for our seniors, it's the great big beautiful bill, which has been mischaracterized. But now people they don't want to talk about it because it's so good, the enemy, because it's so good for everybody. It's the greatest piece of legislation ever passed in the history of our country in terms of size. And hence it's called, they call it the Big Beautiful Bill or the One Big Beautiful, I call it the Great Big Beautiful Bill. It's an amazing bill for the middle class. It's an amazing bill for jobs. We've never passed anything like it. And in my first administration, So we had the greatest economy. Everything was good, but we're really outdoing it this time because we have investments coming in largely because of tariffs. And I think because of November 5th, the election result. But we have investments coming in like we've never had before. Please, behind you. Caitlin, behind you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin.
On Syria, can we expect an announcement on a pact between Syria and Israel or an announcement on them joining the anti-ISIS?
Yeah, you can expect some announcements on Syria. We want to see Syria become a country that's very successful, and I think this leader can do it. I really do. I think this leader can do it. And people said he's had a rough past. We've all had rough pasts. But he has had a rough past. And I think, frankly, if you didn't have a rough past, you wouldn't have a chance. He gets along very well with Turkey, with President Erdogan, who's a great leader. Erdogan's a great leader and very much in favor of what's happening in Syria. We have to make Syria work. Syria is a big part of the Middle East. And I will tell you, I think it is working and really well. We're working also with Israel on, you know, getting along with Syria, getting along with everybody. And that's working amazingly. As you know, Hamas has given us back numerous bodies. It sounds pretty gruesome, but it's something the parents want more than if their son had been living. Hard to believe. I've seen all of the parents, so many of the parents. And getting back the body of their son, their dead son, is as vital to them, as important to them, as if the boy was generally the boy. The boy was alive. And as you know, over the last 4 or 5 days, we've gotten a lot of the additional bodies that they said they were going to. They've worked very hard to do that. So we have peace in the Middle East. It's a great thing. And nobody's ever seen anything quite like it.
Actually, you're meeting with the Syrian president today, Mr.
President. Last week about trade, about your talks with Switzerland. We're reporting that you're near a deal that would lower their rates.
With Switzerland?
Yeah.
We're working on a deal to get their tariffs a little bit lower because
15% is what we're doing.
No, I haven't said any number, but we're going to be working on something to help Switzerland along. We hit Switzerland very hard. We want Switzerland to remain successful. And, you know, we're a part of Switzerland in the sense that they've been a very good ally. Yeah, we're working on them and some others, and we're working on others to increase them a little bit, too.
How close is it to Switzerland?
Switzerland? What, do you have something to do with Switzerland?
He wants to buy a watch.
He wants to buy a nice watch. Right? He wants to buy a nice Rolex, right? We'll give Rolex some publicity. Because Rolex has been, they've been very nice, you know. Now, look, it's a beautiful country. It's a small country, but economically very big. So we're working on something. Caitlin?
I had a meeting with the Syrian president earlier today. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a big ally of yours, said that she would rather see you focused on nonstop domestic policy meetings here at the White House instead of nonstop foreign policy meetings. What's your response to her saying that and also saying that grocery prices are up and not down, as you said?
Yeah, so I don't know what happened to Marjorie. She's a nice woman, but I don't know what happened. She's lost her way, I think. But I have to view the presidency as a worldwide situation, not locally. I mean, we could have a world that's on fire where wars come to our shores very easily if you had a bad president. We had a horrible president, and we ended up with Russia-Ukraine, and we ended up with other disasters, too. Don't forget, I put out 8 wars, 9 to come. I think I'll get the other one taken care of. But I put out 8 wars. And look at the damage that Russia-Ukraine has done to us as a country. I mean, we spent $350 billion. We're not spending any money anymore. Now they pay us through NATO. You know, I got NATO to go from 2% to 5%. Well, that's very important. When you're president, you really sort of have to watch over the world because you're going to be dragged into it. Otherwise, you're going to be dragged into a world war. I think if I weren't president, that war would have never happened if I was president. And if I weren't president, that war could have led to World War III. It won't. It's not going to anymore. But when I first got in, I said, wow, this situation could lead to World War III. And I got NATO together. I got everybody together. But with all of that, I passed a great big beautiful bill, which is the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country. So when somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's now catering to the other side, I don't know what, you know, I guess she's, you know, got some kind of an act going, but I'm surprised at her. But when somebody like Marjorie goes over and starts making statements like that, it shows she doesn't know. I don't devote a lot of my time. Let me give you another example. China. China was going to hit us with rare earth. Now, everybody says, well, what does that mean? Magnets. If China refused to give magnets because they have a monopoly on magnets because they were allowed to happen over a 32-year period. There wouldn't be a car made in the entire world. There wouldn't be a radio. There wouldn't be a television. There wouldn't be internet. There wouldn't be anything because magnets are such a part. Now, nobody knows what magnets are, and not overly sophisticated, but to build a magnet system would take 2 years. So if I weren't able to say to China, look, if you're going to do that to us, we're going to charge you 158% tariff. It was 100% on top of 58%. And China called up immediately and said, we will make peace. And we made peace. We made a great deal. We made an unbelievable deal. China's paying tariffs to the United States, not the United States paying tariffs to China, which has always been the way it was. Nobody can believe these deals. But so when somebody makes a statement about he's devoting time to the world, well, the world is the United States, because if the world's in trouble or if the world is ripping us off, you know, the world was ripping us off before I came here. Europe was getting massive tariffs. They were sending us 9-10 million cars a year. We were sending them none. They were not taking our agriculture. We were taking massive amounts of their. It was so unfair. Now we have a deal where $950 billion is coming into the United States because of me and because of tariffs. So if I don't do all these things, our country is doing very poorly. So, you know, it's easy to say, oh, don't worry about the world. But the world is turning out to be our biggest customer. The world was on fire. And we could have been in that fire very easily if you didn't have a president that knew what he was doing.
What about Russia? Americans that travel is going to go back to normal once the government...
That travel is?
Oh,
yeah. It'll go better than normal. You know why?
When the government reopens.
Yeah, sure. It'll be much better than normal because we're buying the most sophisticated avionics and, you know, technology for our control towers. And we didn't have that. We had a guy named Buttigieg. This is the best way. Just say two edges, like off the edge of a cliff, which is where they were taking us, by the way. Buttigieg was the Secretary of Transportation, and he spent billions of dollars trying to patch together our air traffic control system, which was a conglomeration of all different systems in all different cities. They had hundreds of companies working on it, and they were spending billions of dollars. And when they turned it on, it didn't work. It didn't even work a little bit. That's why you had a helicopter crashing into an airplane, that if we had a great system, bells and whistles would have started going off. So we are now in the process. We're in final bids of getting the finest system anywhere in the world. I've analyzed it. Sean Duffy has been working really hard on it, doing a fantastic job, by the way. And over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be handing out the finest air traffic control system anywhere in the world. All the towers will be equipped. They were going copper wire into glass wire into other types of wire. And if you knew anything, you know copper wire doesn't work with glass. You know the glass doesn't work with other substances. And they spent billions of dollars, and when they turned it on, nothing happened. Okay? We're getting the most sophisticated, all brand new. All brand new. Every control tower will have the same exact system. It'll be the most sophisticated system by far in the world. And what we've done is we've looked around other countries and we've taken the absolute best systems in every different form, because there are different. You have lots of different companies like IBM and Raytheon and a lot of great companies. They're all bidding, and we're going to pick the best one, and it'll get built relatively quickly. And we are going to have the greatest air traffic control system anywhere in the world. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Okay, there you go. It's the president of the White House talking about the shutdown and it coming to an end and how Democrats are coming on board with this. But like I've been telling you, this was all a cynical ploy to bring out Democrat voters and motivate them to come out and vote on Election Day last week. So that's that. And we'll continue covering that as the outrage continues to pour in. Fake outrage, obviously. Fake outrage across the board. But remember, we've talked a lot about how Republican voters, Trump voters, did not turn out in this past election in the numbers that we needed for Jack Ciccarelli to win. Democrats were panicked that they were not going to get Democrat voters out to vote. So you use this as a way to motivate people to turn out. Send a message to Trump and the Republicans that you hate the government shutdown and vote for the Democrat. And then you hear Democrats go, but we won everything last week. Why would we reopen the government? Because then they'll get angry at you if you don't reopen the government. The whole point was so that they would get angry at Trump and get angry at the Republican candidates. And that's exactly what took place. So when you factor that in, and look, people are surprised at how many people turned out to vote for Mikey Sherrill. But they were hearing the same stuff we were. It's a one-point race. It's a two-point race. It's within the margin of error. Jack's got a lead. It's a 0.9% race. They were hearing the same things we were, and they were worried, and they were motivating their voters, and they were spending a ton of money. And there are different issues in South Jersey than North Jersey. There are different issues at play, and we have to remember that because they're two different states. Just two, it's literally saying that an issue that would have affected Pittsburgh voters but not Philadelphia voters, and then we were surprised at how many people in Pittsburgh went a certain way. Well, North Jersey is very much dependent upon the New York media market and very dependent upon the coverage that they get up there, not down here. So there's different radio, there's different TV, and there's different newspapers, and they were beating the drum about the cancellation of the Gateway Tunnel project. Again, it is not the only reason why Democrats turned out, but it's little things. If you go to the urban areas and you tell people they're going to lose their SNAP benefits, if you do all these things, it motivates little by little, and then send a message and get your government reopened and vote for the Democrat, and the Republicans will panic and they'll force the president to reopen the government and blah, blah, blah. And that's the kind of stuff they were doing. But it turns out that the left, outside of Democrat voters, is furious, allegedly, that they're reopening the government. So if you're a Democrat facing re-election next year, at least for now, you've got to be angry and say that you're angry and say you're going to vote no. But you know the government will reopen, so none of the bad things will actually happen, and you won't get the actual blame for it. So it's perfect for you. You get, on the one hand, to condemn the reopening of government. And then on the other hand, you get to turn around and don't have to have any of the fallout for the government staying shut down. You don't have to worry about any of the fallout for it. So you can accomplish both. You can go out there and rail against it and talk is cheap without having to worry about it blowing up in your face. So that's where we are, and amazing that not everybody sees that, but you see it because you're intelligent, and we see it because we're intelligent. And they're also saying these things. I mean, that's the thing. They're saying these things, and there's a ton of clips on it. Bernie raging about the government funding, and then Bernie also saying at the same time he's going to work with Republicans to end the government shutdown. On the one hand, raging about the spending and then voting with Republicans because Bernie has nothing to lose. So Bernie can be one of those votes. See, that's the other thing, too, is that of all the Democrats in the Senate, you have to find eight of them or seven of them because you had Fetterman who don't have to worry about any fallout in next year's election among the base. They can ride through that and then they can get the government reopened and let other Democrat senators yell and scream, but not actually have to do the things they have to do to get the government open. You know, I mean, again, it's a purely cynical plot. In Virginia, you're talking about motivating government workers. Government workers to just turn out. Now, when they do turn out, they tend to vote Democrat, but getting them out is the issue. It's how do you get them to turn out? How do you get them to turn out on election day when Abigail Spanberger is not exactly the most inspiring candidate? Same thing with Mikey Sherrill. There was no enthusiasm for Mikey Sherrill. Not an inspiring candidate. Same thing with Abigail Spanberger. Well, you motivate them by getting them to vote, send a message, Trump, and turn out that way. And that's what they did. That's exactly what their strategy was. Mamdani's a whole other animal because he is, I mean, there was, you know, with him, it was different. His election was not a national election, even though he kept making it about Trump. But it was more about the fact that people in New York City are dumb enough to go along with a guy who can't deliver on his socialist communist promises. But, you know, the shutdown wasn't going to really affect things in that race. But in Virginia and New Jersey, it was a different story. And I know that there are some people who don't understand the impact of the Gateway Tunnel project. But before I come to a conclusion on things, I kind of talk to people, I get a sense of things. And as somebody said, when Cittarelli was not hitting Trump more on that issue, it seemed like to a lot of people he was not his own man and not able to take a stand against the president when it counted. So if you were a voter on the fence and you were a likely Democrat voter, but maybe you thought that Jack would be independent, maybe on that issue, as you rode the train every day to New York and your commute was abysmal, maybe that's what pushed you over the edge. Again, I'm not assigning blame to any one issue. There's lots of blame to go around, lots of different things that motivate voters. But when you throw a lot of different things at one time and you've got a turnout problem, you're facing something, you don't reopen the government. Why didn't they do this a week ago? Can you imagine if they had announced that they were reopening the government in the middle of early voting in New Jersey and Virginia? A lot of those Democrat-leaning voters would have just stayed home. Maybe. I don't know. I can't predict for sure, but my guess is a lot of them would have probably stayed home. They probably would have figured, what the hell? My anger was at a 10. I'm now at a 5. And 5 doesn't get me to turn out and vote. I'm not scared anymore about losing my SNAP benefits. I'm not scared anymore about this or that or whatever it is. You know, I mean, that's little things. But to just election day is Tuesday and then Sunday they reach a deal. Nothing changes, as they've all admitted. Nothing has changed. Everything's the same, except for the fact that the election's over. And we'll be probably back at it in January. Except the Democrats won't want to be in a position where they look like it's their fault if the government shut down and flights get delayed. And that's the other thing, too, is that we're heading into the holidays. So you knew this was going to be resolved after the election. You knew that. There was no way they were going to keep the government shut down heading into the Thanksgiving travel season. Now, look, flights are still going to be affected, and it may not be totally back to normal by then. But at least they don't have to get the blame for it. And that was what the other fear was that if this dragged on much longer after the election, you get into Thanksgiving, you get into travel time, and then people get angry, and then they just say, throw all the bums out. And then, you know, then it lands on you, so to speak. All right. Tell me about my friends at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Great people over there. Tri-County Toyota. You heard the president a few weeks ago talk about Toyota making their huge investment in the United States of America, and even said, go buy a Toyota, all right? Go buy a Toyota, because they're investing billions of dollars in the United States of America. Well, it is the perfect time to get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota. Right now, you can lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5 and lease for $229 a month for 39 months, or get rates as low as 2.99 or 3.99% financing. It's great. Great savings, great discounts all across the board from great people at Tri-County Toyota and Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. And if you want to get into a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and I don't blame you because I drive a Jeep and I love it, the wrap-up-the-year sales event is happening now. Right now, you can lease a new 2025 Jeep Compass Limited for just $328 a month for 42 months. If you want to go something bigger, get a new 2025 Ram truck, 0% financing for 72 months, or a new 2026 Ram truck with 0% financing for 60 months. Stop into their showroom, see all the deals, meet General Manager Jack Donaldson. Thank him and their entire team for their incredible support of our show, and it's worth the drive from wherever you are, and easy to get to right off of 422 in Limerick, easy to get to from King of Prussia, Exton, the Main Line, Jersey, wherever, and worth it because they stand with us. They are our official car sponsor for the show, and I love them. They're great people who do go the extra mile for you, never any pressure, but you cannot beat these savings. And if you go online to tricounty.com, you'll see all the savings right there, from leasing to financing to owning to pre-owned vehicles as well. They have them there for you. Great American cars to choose from, and cars that are made in America now with great investment from companies like Toyota. So Tri-County Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram and Tri-County Toyota, two great dealerships. Look at the gigantic American flag. You can't miss it. The thing is massive. It sits right between the two dealerships. Go in there and say thank you. Tri-County.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, tomorrow is Veterans Day. We will certainly be spending some time acknowledging our veterans, of course, as we do every year on Veterans Day. Also, my son Patrick's 11th birthday tomorrow, and we will certainly be celebrating with him. He had a... It's so funny. It's crazy having an 11-year-old now. But, yeah, it's like, where does the time go? It just flies by. And people warn me. They always said that, and they were right. It does. I also want to give a birthday shout-out. And thanks to Sue Alberici for reminding me. Our buddy EJ, it was his birthday. EJ Stokes, National Parker 5 on Twitter. Great, great Zioli Army friend. It was his birthday over the weekend, I think on Friday. Happy birthday, EJ. Hope you had a wonderful birthday. And I promise I'd give you a birthday shout out today. So there you go. Happy birthday. And thank you for all your support, your friendship, and for coming to all our Cape May broadcasts, which, by the way, we'll be back in Cape May on December 19th. So Friday, December 19th for our Christmas Spectacular on Ice. It'll be a great show. Our live shows are always a blast. And mark your calendar now for that, because that'll be here before you know it. Before you realize it, it'll be Christmas time. And yes, we're excited for that. Cape May is amazing in Christmas. It really is. The whole town goes all out for it. So you'll love coming down. And if you want to stay there, do it, because it'll be fun. And then you don't have to worry about driving. And you can enjoy all the lights, because they decorate. They have trolley tours, and it's a lot of fun. So December 19th, mark your calendar for that, for our next live show in Cape May, New Jersey. Also, As we're talking about all the crazy issues of the day. Oh, we have our guest. Oh, great. Excellent. So 75-year birthday of Junior's Cheesecake in New York City. And I'm really happy to welcome back to the show. You know, I had him on before. I was hoping he was going to run for mayor. He still may one day. Alan Rosen, owner of Junior's in New York, founded in 1950. And celebrating now 75 years. Alan, welcome back to the show. How have you been?
I've been great. Thank you. And yes, I wish I would have continued that run for mayor, because you might have been talking to the mayor today.
I know. It's very possible.
Great. Well, crazy listen, that turned out.
Yeah, let's talk about that right off the top here. What is it like for a guy like you operating a business in New York City, knowing that you're about to have a communist as your mayor?
It's very, I want to say, it's unknowing. I'm hopeful that we don't have a full-on communist, that hopefully, and listen, I have to be optimistic because I'm stuck here for another 75 years, I hope. Hopefully the behavior is not reflective of the campaign. Hopefully the people that he hires to work with him have the ability to run the city in a fashion that promotes small business, promotes safety, security, so people can continue to go to work and go to Broadway shows and enjoy New York City, which I still believe is the greatest city in the world, regardless of the election. And hopefully, you know, I mean, the city's going to continue no matter what, but hopefully we don't go back to the bad old days.
You lived through the bad old days when crime was out of control and the quality of life crimes were out of control. And it really did have an impact. But a lot of people who voted for him have no idea what those days were like, because he got a lot of young voters. And I guess people that voted for him who just maybe didn't care what those days were like.
Yeah, no, listen, people get told certain things and people have ideas in their head and, you know, they don't have as much experience. And I'm not going to, you know, but let's see how it turns out. But, you know, you live and learn. And, you know, things in life, you know, as with our 75 year history on the same street corner in Brooklyn, things have gone up, things have gone down. But one thing that's remained constant is that we've always been there and will continue to be there.
And you have a Jersey connection, Junior's Cheesecake, a South Jersey connection, right?
We do. Yes, we do. We have our bakery where we make all our cheesecakes is located in Burlington, New Jersey.
Yeah,
so
very cool.
So that is our South Jersey connection. So we're in and out of there with trucks going to our restaurants every single day of the week.
And your cheesecakes are made with full fat cream cheese. And now that fat is no longer considered the enemy and the devil, nor and never should have been, that's got to make you feel good too, right?
Well, listen, it's comfort food. It's homemade. It's not, you know, it's baked. It's the same recipe my grandfather started with 75 years ago. So it's cream cheese. It's fresh eggs. It's full fat, heavy cream. Yes, it's sugar, but it's regular sugar. You know, we blend it. We deposit it on a sponge cake bottom and we bake it in a water bath. It's exactly the same recipe as 75 years ago. If I was making a cheesecake in my home today, that's how I'd make it. So I feel comfort in that, you know, so that we're making it in the same fashion with which we started 75 years ago.
I mean, congratulations. That's amazing. And you never,
thank you.
You never sold out. You never changed the recipe and started adding cheaper ingredients to make more money.
Nope.
You kept it the same.
We're still using the same brands that we started. We're still doing business. You know, our chicken guys, the same chicken guy my dad bought chicken from. My grandfather bought chicken from. I kid you not. So, like, you know, everyone says we're local. We've been local for 75 years. It's just how we grew up, so to speak. We've run our restaurants that way. You know, we're still serving the same big 10-ounce thick hamburger. We're still serving breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, scrambling eggs and doing our making French toast from thick-cut challah bread and corned beef and pastrami and brisket and turkey roast every day. We make every sauce, every soup from scratch in our restaurants. Every salad dressing. We don't buy a salad dressing. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But you know what? What's great and rewarding, it's 75 years. We're still here. You know, COVID obviously was a tough time. 1981, we had a fire. Tough time. You know, as you said, we've been through ups and downs, whether it's crime and et cetera. But you know what? Juniors, we stayed on that corner. And we turned down, you know, the easy money to sell the real estate, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And we've stayed.
And you have a
you feel great. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and you have a location in Times Square too, right?
We have two locations in Times Square. We have one on 45th Street between Broadway and 8th, one on 49th and Broadway. And then about a year and a half ago, we opened up in Las Vegas. So we got that too.
Oh, nice. When are you going to open up? I mean, since you got the bakery in South Jersey, when are you going to open up a restaurant down here?
I don't, you know, the truth of the matter is I spend about 1.5 days down there a week. I don't know the market well enough, so I need some of your local expertise to tell me where to go.
We can help you with that. No problem. We'd be happy to.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I see Juniors and I pop in there every now and then when I'm up in New York because it's fantastic. I love it. But I'm proud of you because you have not hesitated to also be outspoken about your beliefs and your views. And a lot of people were afraid to do that because there was cancel culture. Less so now. We've kind of overcome that, but you're still in New York City, but you don't hold back. You tell it like it is.
Listen, people could say to me, "Oh, you're Republican, or you don't like this." The truth of the matter is I love everybody. I have employees who have worked with me for 20, 25, 35, 45 years, started as porters. They're now general managers. I believe in the American dream. I believe that all boats rise together, you know, just because the owner of a business is doing well, the employees are doing well. If the economy is doing well for one person, it's usually doing well for everybody. And so, you know, I'm not afraid to say any of the things I've just said, because I believe they're smart things. I believe, you know, obviously it's great to have an environment where people are working, where people are feeling safe, you know, people are able to enjoy whatever location they live in is safe and clean, and they can go from A to B and go to work and feel great about themselves. So, yeah, I'm not afraid to be a little outspoken and be a little critical, respectfully, of other people's opinions, same way people can be hopefully respectful and critical of my opinions. It's fine.
That's good.
You can have that discourse. That's what mature human beings do. They agree to disagree on certain things. It's okay.
It is okay. It's healthy, Alan. It really is. Alan Rosen's with me. He's the owner of Junior's Cheesecake, the Junior's in New York, famous, of course, and the restaurants and the bakery in South Jersey. And that's great that you come down to Burlington. You come down to South Jersey one day a week. That's awesome. We are grateful for you employing so many people, too. You have a lot of people that work for you, and you've created a lot of jobs, and your family's created a lot of jobs in 75 years, and you've kept a lot of people employed. And that's also no small thing.
No, we have over 900 employees in our company. I think it's about 940 to be exact. Let me just ignore this call. Someone's calling me. I apologize.
That's all right. They're probably hearing you on the radio right now.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, we have 900 employees. We try and take good care of them. We've offered, you know, good benefits since before that was a thing that you had to do. We did it because we feel it's important. We have employees, you know, some of the greatest stories I like to tell is, you know, like my general manager in Brooklyn, Will. He started as a porter in my Grand Central store, and now he's a general manager, bought a house on Long Island, has, I believe, three children, et cetera, et cetera. You know, someone who I call my chief of staff started as a hostess in a restaurant on 45th Street when she emigrated here from Russia. She now is my number two person in the company. The gentleman who runs the bakery in South Jersey started as an assistant manager when he was right out of college, I think 25 years ago, you know, in Grand Central Station. Then he relocated to South Jersey and now runs our baking business. So there's, you know, we create all sorts of opportunity like that. And part of being a small businessman in this country is the ability to do that. And the truth of the matter is, without those people, you can't grow your business. So you got to take care of people.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's also a situation where to keep a family business in an age where a lot of families, quite frankly, have, and I'm not saying this is a pejorative, but it's sold out to larger corporations, is a big deal. It really is.
Well, listen, you know, the truth of the matter is, but it also inhibits your ability to get really big, if you know what I mean, because you don't have, you know, when it's just the family, you don't have the type of capital that it takes to become a cheesecake factory, for lack of a better term, or someone like that with 50, right, 60, 70 restaurants. Because, you know, building a restaurant is very expensive and very risky. You know, we've had restaurants that we've opened that haven't made it. And that is, you know, hurts the family, if you know what I mean. Takes a long time to recover from, sure, because everyone's licking their wounds, so to speak. So it's not all, you know, my grandfather went broke twice in his life. My father worked in that restaurant from the time he was 17 years old, literally 17, you know, didn't stop. Didn't go to college. My uncle worked there. My uncle just passed away this summer at 96.
Sorry to hear that.
No, that's okay. Listen, everyone should live a full life of 96 and
96. And die, God bless him. Wow.
And die with a full head of hair. That was my, so, you know, it's, you know, these family businesses are tough, but they can be really rewarding. You know, I have friends who are, you know, plumbers, and their sons are taking over their plumbing businesses, and they're electricians, and same thing. And it's really amazing. And everyone has the opportunity to sell these businesses these days. But if you love what you do, you just don't do that.
When your grandfather went bankrupt twice, what lessons can we take from that in terms of perseverance and the American dream and also never giving up?
All of those things that you just said, never giving up. I tell my kids this all the time. You got to just keep grinding. You're going to, and by the way, if you're not failing 3.2 times in your career, you're not an entrepreneur. Mm. You have to fail if you're trying stuff. And I've failed over three times. I gave a lecture to a bunch of college kids last week and I told them if you're going to fail. And the key is you just dust yourself off the next day and you don't take it personally and you got to keep going. I mean, I don't know a businessman that hasn't failed or at least had some failures.
I don't think we push that message enough. I really don't. I think we push a message of safety. And I think there's a lot of people right now who are afraid to take risks, and risks are good and risks are healthy. Failure is good and healthy because it teaches you a lot more lessons sometimes than success ever does, right?
Absolutely. You learn a lot from each lesson, from each failure, you learn a lesson and hopefully you build that into your next one so you don't do it again. You know, that would be dumb. But yeah, I've learned a lot of lessons. And, sometimes you'll pick a wrong location. Okay. Not enough traffic. So you learn that you need to be near theaters. One time I built a restaurant, I just built it too big. It was just too big for where it was. And you learn. But if you didn't take those risks, we wouldn't have five restaurants and 940 employees and 75 years of success. My grandfather didn't take risks, and my father didn't take risks, and my uncle didn't take risks. We'd probably be closed.
So, Alan, let me ask you: how come you never switched over to high fructose corn syrup? Now that everybody's looking at real ingredients again, and Junior's cheesecake has always kept sugar, which I think is great.
I don't know the answer. The answer is I don't know. I didn't know what it was, so I didn't use it. You know, the same way I cook at home. You know, I make soup from scratch at home. I make soup from scratch in my restaurants. I mean, I buy salad dressings at home. In our restaurants, we literally make salad dressing from scratch. Every night when one of our cooks goes home, we leave a cauldron on the stove with chicken backs and necks and carrots and celery and onions. And that's the base for our chicken soup for the next day. You know, that's just how we do it. So the short answer would be the reason I never tried it is because it's not the way my grandfather or my father or my uncle taught me.
Right.
So we just sort of kept everything the same.
So no shortcuts. I like that. I think it's great.
There is no, we're still baking in a water bath, which means that each pan like gets surrounded by water and it's cumbersome and these rotating ovens go around. Then someone's got to, sort of push the water, shake the water off each of these pans. We de-pan one cake at a time. We're making millions of cheesecakes. We're doing it exactly the same way. We're just doing more of it.
If the mayor-elect were to reach out to you and say, hey, what can I do? What advice would you give him as a guy who's been successful in New York City all these years and he's never actually had a job? So what advice would you give him?
First, I would tell him he should try and retain the NYPD commissioner of the police department, because I believe she's doing an excellent job. And I've noticed a real difference since she came into office. So obviously I don't believe in defunding the police. So I would tell him to stay away from that idea. I would tell him that before he just implements some of these great ideas, he might want to take a census of regular business people, not just high finance, et cetera, but everyone across the spectrum from five person owned, five people employees to 100 to 200 to 300 from all five boroughs. And have maybe a little sort of business roundtable, if you know what I mean, in private, and see what their concerns are and address that. And I would say that he should not manage the city for any one group of people. He should manage it for all the people.
I love what you said about not defunding the police, because I think that's one of the biggest fears right now people have, especially as you're in the tourist area. So people want to know the city's going to remain safe. And it's good to hear that it's getting better under the new commissioner. And people are worried that, it's going to go the other direction, which would have a big impact on business.
Since Jessica Tisch became commissioner, I'm not sure the exact date, but there's a big difference. It's being professionally run, but also you have to make sure, as he's the leader of the city, that the police officers feel supported. They feel loved. and not feel like, you know, she runs the Civilian Complaint Review Board now, I believe, or oversees it, or the some part. Don't quote me on that. He should just maintain that the police feel supported and they want to do their jobs, because it's a very important job. Same with firemen, et cetera.
Well, listen, congratulations. 75 years is amazing. I know you'll be doing it for another 75. And what's the future?
I won't be.
Well, maybe not you, but your sons, your kids, like who else is in the family?
So I have two sons who are both interested in the restaurant business. One is working in a different restaurant right now. He's actually at work as we speak. He does the night shift. And that's how we do it in our home. When no one just comes into the family business, you got to go out there and work a little bit, see what you're made of. And then I have my youngest son is a senior at college, and we'll see when he comes out. He'll go get some experience elsewhere and see what he chooses to do. But everyone's got open options to do what they enjoy. I enjoy it very much. I'm young enough to keep doing it for another 20 years, I think. And we'll go from there.
Well, thanks for supporting South Jersey. Thanks for continuing the bakery in Burlington, the bakery operations. That's amazing. All the jobs you have down there. We appreciate it very, very much. The election didn't go our way either in New Jersey, but, you know, it's all right. We'll eat some cheesecake, get a little comfort food, and, you know, we'll deal with it.
We'll survive 4 years. Just keep plugging along. Keep grinding, as I like to say.
Alan Rosen, thank you again. And next time we're up in New York, we'll pop into Junior's and say hello. Appreciate it.
Look forward to having you as my guest.
Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. As we continue along here, we are going to take a break, but we got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk about the government shutdown. We'll talk about the Jersey election as we're learning more about that. And, what about Pennsylvania? What about Chester County? Where do we go from here? 75,000 people who were disenfranchised and were not allowed to vote in the last election. Well, I mean, some they could fill out provisional ballots, but their names were not on the rolls when they showed up to vote. So how does that happen? What happens with that? That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneri of Veneria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you. Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VANARIA. We are getting to the end of the year. If you have unused dental benefits, see if you can use them with Dr. Mike to get that beautiful smile you deserve. Big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.